Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
Standing for our New Testament epistle reading from Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. You can follow along on the slides behind me. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and his robe on his thigh he has the name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Please be seated. Our Old Testament passage today is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 62, verses 1 through 5. It can be found on page 608 in the Bibles provided underneath the seats in front of you. It's page 608, Isaiah 62, beginning with verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You will be called a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted, or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Our psalm reading is Psalm 117. It can be found on page 495. That's page 495, Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Thanks be to God.
Well, today we're going back to the book of Daniel.
Just kidding. We're not.
I'm excited to be in the sixth week of Lent, the sixth Sunday of Lent. I hope that this has been a rewarding season, a redemptive season for you, as we find new ways to turn our attention away from things in our life, away from especially the unhealthy things, or the things we may lean on a bit too much, to lean toward what God is doing, what God desires in our lives. Is my microphone on? No. It's shaking. Maybe. I got a green light. Green needs to go.
One, two, there we are. Hey. I think. Hi. Okay, good morning again. We're glad to be in the sixth week of Lent. I'm excited to all God has been doing, and he's not done yet. Amen. We've arrived at Palm Sunday. We've arrived at the Sunday of welcoming Jesus officially in some new ways. If you're wondering what this big strip of paper is down here, this is the road that Jesus enters on. Okay, we got to use our imaginations a little bit. There's no dirt involved. You didn't actually have to walk on this road to get in here. But I want to open up our altars for prayer. They're always open, but I want to remind you that the altars are open. At any point this morning during the message or from here on out, you feel like coming forward to the road that Jesus enters on. Whatever would make you want to come forward in prayer, whether it's a celebration, whether you're asking God to do something, or whether you're giving God something, laying down something, come at any point in today's service to welcome Jesus as Lord in a new way. And I'll explain the name tags here in a bit too. There are markers up here if you want to color on the road that Jesus walked in, or yeah, entered in on the donkey. Anyways, we'll get to that in a little bit. So we did study Daniel for a while together, right? We spent time soaking in the truth of the fact that God's people have had several times throughout their existence as God's people of looking to God as those who need restoration, right? There's been several times throughout the life of God's people and existence of God's people, we remember that they were enslaved in Egypt, right? And as they were enslaved in Egypt, they were calling out to God to restore them and to make them his people. And so God brought them out of Egypt. He established them as his people, began revealing to the world what it looks like when the divine love of God is in relationship with his people. Only because they knew they were God's people, they began to enjoy being God's people. And as they rested in their identity as God's people, they began to depend less on that relationship with God and depended more on their inherent identity as God's people. And so God helped offer them correction by allowing them to be taken again into exile. And that's where we've been in the past year with the book of Daniel, right? They were taken into exile by Babylon, and they lived once again as exiles, a people without a place, a people who were crying out to God, even in the midst of their exile in Babylon, saying, God, restore us. God, do what you have promised to do with us and through us. So we have the truth that even in exile, God's people believed his purposes through them would continue. Remember, whenever we say God's people, we're also bringing in you and I. This is part of our story. This is something that's true about us. That even in exile, even when we feel like we're living in exile, we believe that God's purposes through us will continue. So let's fast forward a bit, right? We remember the story of Daniel. They were eventually allowed to come back to their land. They are living in the promised land. They've rebuilt the temple, and yet they're living under Roman oppression. They knew the promises of God to restore them. They knew the promises of God to begin a new age of dwelling with them in special ways. Surely this couldn't be it. Surely there was a better age in store still. And so even as they had a new temple, even as they were living in the promised land once again, they would cry out to God. They believed that there was a coming Messiah, someone who would come and restore, and God would come and restore all things and inaugurate his kingdom in a way that had never yet existed. And they looked forward to that time, and they listened to the prophetic words over the ages that they continued to worship with and speak about. And so it's with that hope in mind that we turn to our passage this morning from Matthew chapter 21. Let's read the word of God. Listen to these words. Matthew writes, "When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage or Bethphage, however you want to say it, at the Mount of Olives is where it is, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately.' This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet: 'Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, get ready with your palm branches if you got them, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Good job. Thank you. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, who is this? The crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. God, we are thankful for your word this morning. We confess that these can just be words on a page, but we trust that your word is living by the power of your Spirit that is here with us. We ask that you would bring these words to life in our midst, that we would experience your presence and your love and your holiness here and now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you imagine being there in these moments? If you've ever been a part of an excited crowd, you have a bit of an understanding. But this crowd and the hopes that they were yelling and screaming and shouting and singing about, and the curiosity for those on the edges, what is going on in this place? The disciples, as they're walking in with Jesus, can you imagine yourself in these moments, experiencing these moments? It would be worth time just to end my message there, right? And spend the rest of the time this morning imagining and entering into this scene. I'm going to keep talking, though. Sorry. You can do that on your own if you want, but I encourage it. I want you to imagine, it may help if you could try to, and this may be hard, try to imagine a world where we want something politically to change. Okay, that's hard, okay, but try to imagine a world where everybody in the world isn't exactly the way we want it. There are political leaders in some places in our world that some of us would rather have different leaders for. It may be hard, but try to imagine, okay? And now imagine also that there is injustice in our world. Imagine that things are not right, that things are imbalanced, that there are some who misuse power, that there are some who misuse their influence. Imagine that our world is not right and needs to be set right. And now imagine that you know the ways of God because God has literally revealed his ways in Scripture, and that there are ways that God has revealed that are flourishing and that bring peace and bring healing. And imagine that you know those ways exist and you don't see them being lived out very often in our world. And now imagine you have the ability to welcome the Lordship of Jesus in a new way this morning. Imagine. Allow yourself just even a hint of the hope that would exist if this were to be true. Now imagine the disciples in these moments. They've walked years with Jesus. They have this vague idea of what Jesus is doing. They've seen him bring healing. They've heard his words. And here he is entering into Jerusalem with them. And they've done this before. This was not the first time that Jesus entered Jerusalem. It wasn't a huge deal that Jesus was entering Jerusalem. The huge deal, though, was the fact that this time was a bit different. Jesus didn't just walk the way everyone would usually enter this holy city. Jesus says, hey, go get me a donkey. Go get me. And he gives them instruction to make this entrance different. Because Jesus knows that this season of ministry is drawing to an end because something new is about to happen. Not only in his ministry, but in creation. And so he enters in these moments as one who is coming to arrive as king. And a king can requisition any animal for his purposes. And so he just simply says, this is the fact of what's going on. Go ahead of me. Bring me these animals. If you need help, just tell them the Lord needs them and it will happen. We see this happening just as Jesus said, because we believe the Holy Spirit was working under the surface, right, beyond what was able to be seen, to make sure these things happened the way they needed to happen. Both because of prophecies being fulfilled, but also because this is the King arriving. And the Holy Spirit is joining with the activity that's happening in these moments to make sure that what's needed is available. And so imagine the Holy Spirit is at work under the surface here and now this morning. That God is working even in ways you can't see, that you can't measure, that you wouldn't be able to prove to the person next to you, but there is something happening as you've been drawn here this morning, as you may have come willingly or unwillingly, as you may be even just beginning to open your heart to what's going on in these moments, or you may still feel a bit resistant to what God may be tugging from you. But the Holy Spirit is working right now to prepare your heart, to prepare our community, to prepare our homes for what he desires to do anew. We continue to read. Matthew is writing these words, wanting us to be aware of his messianic hopes, right? Matthew really wants us to know that this is all connected to the Messiah that they've been waiting for. And so he keeps invoking these words that keep reminding God's people. Now remember, Matthew is not writing this as it's happening. He didn't go to bed before bed that night and write down, "Dear journal, today Jesus entered the city," right? He's writing this around AD 70, right? The temple has been destroyed by Rome. There is no temple. The Pharisees are now in charge, and there's this whole lot of different stuff going on. They've been reminded that they are not the ones in power. Whether it's the political forces or even the religious forces, they've taken the reins of what's going on, and God's people are feeling once again unempowered, exiled from the places that matter. And Matthew is writing to them and saying, despite what you may see around you right now, when Jesus entered, that was the Messiah. Don't miss that truth about what we celebrate in Jesus. And so Matthew quotes, right, bringing in Jesus as king. He quotes from Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Matthew's invoking these texts from the prophets to remind people that when Jesus entered, it wasn't just a prophet who ended up being killed and that's over with now. It was actually the Messiah. And it doesn't look the way we thought it was going to look. We thought God was going to come. He was going to restore Israel. We were going to rule with him. And isn't it great he did something even bigger? God didn't just save Israel. God didn't just offer to bring salvation in the promised land. God brought King of all humanity, Jesus, and put him on the throne. And all of creation is now the holy land. Everything is offered the redemptive movement of God in Jesus by his Spirit. Matthew's saying, don't miss this. Despite what it looks like in the world around you, this is the truth that happened in these moments. And he's talking about the donkey here, right? Reminding people, Jesus didn't come riding on a conquering horse. He came in on a donkey, right? No one rides into battle on a donkey. Jesus didn't need to ride into battle. He rode in announcing he is king. There's not a battle needed in these moments. He just needs to enter as king. We see that all throughout Scripture. Jesus doesn't need to conquer by way of a battle. All the way through Revelation, we see these verses in Revelation 19:19 through 21. I love this section of Scripture. "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to wage war against the rider on the horse and against his army," that's Jesus and his army, And then there's this section where the beast and the false prophet are captured and destroyed. And the rest were killed by the sword of the rider on the horse, the sword that came from his mouth. And all the birds were gorged with their flesh. Now, sorry to disappoint. I know some of us get really excited about the Battle of Armageddon because we've heard about it in fiction. We've talked about it in ways. We imagine what it might look like when good and evil battle. There's no battle, right? Evil gets all of evil's forces together, and Jesus speaks a word, and it's over. There's no battle required in these moments. Jesus shows up. Jesus speaks. And evil is defeated. All things are transformed. And so imagine with me this morning. Imagine the impact of Jesus speaking into your life today with no battle required. What could God accomplish if you listen to his word? This is the same speaking that happens in Revelation. It's the same speaking because Jesus is the living word, right? When Jesus enters, it's the living word of God entering into our lives, entering into a moment. What can happen if you allow God to speak into your life by his spirit this morning? No battle required. And then we get to the central moment in today's scripture. Jesus enters. And we're festive, right? We get excited about this morning. We wave the palm branches. We wave because in 2 Kings chapter 9, right, Jehu was proclaimed king of Israel. And they throw their cloaks down on the road. We've got the altar open. We've got paper down. We've got markers up here. But we also have name tags in your rows. I want us to imagine what it might look like to throw our cloaks down. What's something God might be calling you to put down as you welcome Jesus as Lord and King in a new way this year? Maybe you feel like you want to come up and grab a marker and just write for a while or draw a picture or a word or several words to symbolize what God is doing in your life this year. Maybe you don't want to kneel or you're wearing a nice Palm Sunday outfit, so you just want to write something on the name tag that's in your row. And then eventually come up here and just slap the sticker on the paper. This paper is going to be here all week, and we're going to keep it up here through Good Friday even. So if you want to come at any point and just put something down to welcome Jesus in a new way, I invite you to come at any point this morning as we're laying down things to welcome Jesus. So the people lay their cloaks down just like they welcomed King Jehu. And also, we know that Maccabeus, when he was helping restore the temple after Antiochus Epiphanes died, that they waved the palms, the cut branches with thanksgiving. So these things that we're doing this morning, they echo, right, from these moments where these significant moments in the history of God and his people, when they were restored, when they were coming into a new season with new leadership, proclaiming a new king, entering into something new together. It's obvious as Jesus was entering Jerusalem, the people believed this was a major event that was transforming their political realities. It was transforming their spiritual realities. It was transforming reality. And it was all happening during the time of Passover, right? And the time of Passover was a time where they were remembering their identities as those whom God had released from slavery and had brought into a promised land together. So they would be singing and worshiping together from Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. They call it the Hallel, right? The praise of God's people. And it's from that text, from Psalm 113 to Psalm 118, they get these words about Savior, Hosanna, which means Savior, save us. Right, Psalm 118, verse 25. And who were they singing to? Right, we see that in Psalm 118. They were singing to the son of David. The son, the descendant of David. Matthew, again, was reinforcing this vision that Jesus fulfills the prophecies about the Messiah. We see in 2 Samuel 7. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, right? He's talking to David. I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom for a few years. No, right? Forever. What's that, Sandlot? Forever. Okay? I will establish his kingdom forever. So imagine, one more thing to imagine this morning. We're getting our imaginations a workout. Imagine the impact of allowing yourself to be a citizen of this kingdom. First and foremost, right? As a child of God in Jesus, you are a citizen of this kingdom of Jesus. So that is forever. Imagine the kind of peace that is being offered to you. That even with political instability all over our globe, and even if it comes right here to our doorstep, there is a peace offered to us as citizens of a never-ending kingdom. Are we living in that peace? Are we inviting others to be aware of that peace? Or are we sharing the anxieties and the worries and the hatred and the clinging to power and the achieving of whatever that our world is frantically pursuing? Are we abiding in the peace of those who know our citizenship is forever in a kingdom without end? Amen, amen. So we have this peace. And they're singing together from Psalm 118. They're singing, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." I have a question, not about the songs that we sing here in church. I love the songs that we sing, but the song of your life. Who do we sing is blessed? Scripture here sings and reminds us, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." If you had to reduce the heart of what's going on in our culture and in our world, what is the psalm being sung in our world? Blessed is the... You get what I'm saying. Blessed is the powerful. Blessed is the successful. Blessed is the one who seems attractive or desirable. Blessed is the... As we think about all these things, we remember that what we worship forms our hearts. What we worship forms our hearts. Do we join with the psalmist singing, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord"? Now, as we look at this scene together, right, I've already said it before this morning, but I'm going to say it again. I want you to imagine yourself, where are you in this passage? Right, the title of today's message is the title, "Who is this?" So I want to hold up the passage itself as a mirror. If you have your Bible open, I want you to look down at the passage as if it is a mirror. If you don't have it, it's okay. Just imagine. Look at the Bible in front of you and imagine that you're looking at that Bible as if it is a mirror. And holding that mirror up to yourself through this scene, where do you find yourself? Where do you see yourself in today's passage? I'm going to give you a few suggestions of places where we might find ourselves. The first one, we may find ourselves as a disciple. Maybe you're here and you're a little bit confident because you've walked with Jesus for years. You've been with him. You've heard his words. You've heard the messages. You know the stories. When someone offered you a palm branch this morning, you said, "Well, that makes sense. I know what this is about." You're a disciple. You may have even experienced his healing power in your own life, and that's why you continue to follow him. And yet, even though you know the trajectory generally, you're not quite sure what's next. Are you humble enough this morning as a disciple to hold what you think is happening next loosely? Are you willing to submit what you desire to actually receive what the living Jesus may desire for you and from you in this season? The next thing I think we might find ourselves mirrored back is as part of this crowd that's gathering together. They are deeply aware of what's wrong in their time and in their city. They're deeply aware of the hurt and the pain and the brokenness. For us, maybe you see it on screens regularly. You see it in your workplace. You see it in your family. You see it in your home even. We know that we need a new source of stability, a new source of leadership, a new source of lordship in our lives, one that desires fruitfulness and not just desires it, but provides all that is needed for it in our lives. You've heard the whispers of new creation, that in Jesus there is hope for complete renewal. And you're thirsty, so you come to meet him and you turn your attention toward him. Are we willing to remove our cloaks this morning? Are we ready for what that might mean? Anew, not what you did years ago, but this year, 2026, how might Jesus be asking you to remove your cloak in a way that welcomes him as Lord? And I think it's possible also as we read the passage this morning that we might see ourselves as a resident of the city. Jesus seems like a really big deal to the religious people, but you have a lot going on in your life. You're very busy, you've got plans already made, and you're coming because you're peripherally connected. But this is really for the other people, the really, really spiritual or the really, really religious people. And yet, something tugs at your heart when you hear what's going on in the lives of others, when you hear people talking about the healing that's possible, the newness that's possible, the being known and being loved that's possible in community. It sounds like something you would like if you could actually make time or space in your life for something like this. If it was actually true, but you're not quite sure you're ready to come welcome him at the gate. Would you imagine with me that maybe God has drawn you here this morning by the love that he has for you, by the spirit that is already at work in your life and in your heart, to say, set aside the reasons you haven't turned to Jesus yet and take a step of faith that says, maybe there's truth here. Maybe Jesus could do something in my life if I give him space and time to do it. Could there be healing possible that I could not have even imagined? Could today be the day you take one step closer, inviting Jesus to be Lord of your life in a new way? And no matter where we are in this story, I want to invite you to enter the heart of these moments that God's people have turned to throughout history. That Jesus enters Jerusalem. And as he enters Jerusalem, the whole city is in turmoil. Right? The word there for turmoil means to rock or to agitate or to shake and stir. Because when Jesus enters, When Jesus enters, things get stirred. They get rocked. They get agitated. I want to point out something that may be hard for us to recognize. If you have invited Jesus into your life and you haven't experienced being stirred or rocked or agitated, then it's possible that you may have not actually invited Jesus to become Lord, to enter into your life. I think Satan can misuse this moment, so I also want to say that turmoil can look like healing to a life where brokenness is normative. So don't let Satan misuse these moments, but I also want us to be open to asking ourselves, have we allowed Jesus to stir us up, to shake us from our foundations, to agitate us in a holy direction? Because there's a truth here. A lot of us are familiar with the image of the golden calf in Exodus. We hear about God's people forming this idol out of gold, and we shake our heads. How could they do that? And yet we go back from hearing that story, and we carve our golden image in the image of Jesus. We make an idol. And because it's in the shape of Jesus, we feel like we're doing okay. But I want to remind us that it's possible that we worship our image of Jesus sometimes while turned away from Jesus and the Spirit that he has sent. God has literally entered in as King and desires by his Spirit to enter even this morning in ways that stir us up out of our usual path to do something new of us and through us. And it's going to agitate a bit. But it's life. And so I've got these name tag stickers in the rows, and I've got this paper road that he entered in on. What I want to do this morning is a little bit different. It might make some of us uncomfortable, and I think that's okay. We're just going to sing a cappella. I mean, this is like youth group stuff. When I brought up this idea, I asked my kids, is this too youth groupish? I was a youth pastor for 20 years, so you're going to deal with this. Sorry. But I want to just sing a cappella in a way that invites our hearts to respond. If you want to come forward and write something on the paper, come forward. If you want to draw on a name tag and put that down. If you want to draw on a name tag but you can't come forward for whatever reason, just tap on the shoulder in front of you and ask them if they'll do it. We're family, right? We'll do for each other. And if they can't do it, just keep passing it. Eventually, it'll get to the front row and yeah, just throw it down. We'll make sure it gets there, all right? But I want to invite us to respond in prayer however God is tugging at your heart to respond. Whatever you may want to put down on paper, whether it's a word or several words, or just draw a picture, you know what God's tugging on your heart to say, for me to arrive as Lord in a new way this year, I would love for you to be willing to put down this. And I'll confess to you, I wrote this morning, I drew a little cloak over here in the corner, and I wrote the word insecurity. That God's calling for me to release my insecurity in ways that allow his lordship to come through me anew this year. How might God be tugging on your heart? If you know this song, I invite you to sing it with me. If you don't know it, just listen to the words of those around you. Let's sing together. We fall down. We lay our crown. I'm sorry, not the song. I don't have the lyrics up there. We're just going to sing together this morning. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Would you stand? The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. Let's sing that whole song over again. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. One more time. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. We're going to keep the altar open. The paper is still here. We have another song we're going to sing together in closing. Let's respond and worship together. Here. I want to encourage you. This is going to remain here all week. If you see cars in the parking lot, come and join us in prayer if you'd like. It's open even Friday as we come for Good Friday. It'll be here. Come forward to the altar and continue doing whatever God is drawing you to do to welcome Him as Lord. Can I pray for us this morning? Jesus, we are thankful for your Lordship. We welcome you as King. Lord, continue to reveal to us the ways you are inviting us to welcome you anew this year. Because we need you. We need healing. We need newness. We need resurrection life. And as we head into Holy Week this week, we ask that you would not only remind us of your sacrifice, but remind us of the love that is revealed in that sacrifice. Make us those who live in that love as your beloved this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you receive this benediction? Now go this week as those who have welcomed and continue to welcome Jesus as King in your lives and in our world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One quick announcement. We do have some birthday cupcakes available in the foyer. We're celebrating Fawn and Helene's 50th birthday this morning, and they wanted to invite you to celebrate with them. Go in peace.